Hello, this is Dean Gocher. I'm founder and director of the Institution for Authority Research. I encourage you to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Then He's the one who directs your paths. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And this program is about a process that holds those scriptures in contempt. The process I call diaprax, the praxis or the practice of a dialectical paradigm or dialectical way of thinking. It's paradigm is simply a way of thinking. God says, my ways are not your ways, neither your thoughts my thoughts. In other words, God's paradigm, His way of thinking, is not our paradigm, our way of thinking. And the difference is that God is spirit, and so He's truth, and we are flesh. We have feelings, and so we have a tendency to evaluate everything around us based upon our feelings, our sensuousness, all the senses, touch, taste, sight, smell, sound, which directly correlate with the environment around us. The environment stimulates our senses, and then we look into the environment to determine whether whatever it is that stimulated those senses is good for us or bad for us. And so that's the temporal part of man. That's the part of man, the hume part of man, human, that ties us to the creation. And so we are definitely formed from the dust of the ground, but it's temporary. But your soul is eternal. God breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of man, that which was formed from the dust of the ground, and he became a living soul. So the dialectical process doesn't look at the soul of man, it looks at the temporal part of man. If the soul is involved, it's redefined. The soul is now tied, it is tied to relationship, but with God, spirit is tied to that which is above. But to the human, to the psychology, to the sociology, to the anthropology, to the ologies of man, it is tied to relationship. It is not good that man be alone. In fact, God is the one who said that. And that's true. It is not good that you be alone. You know, if they isolate you for a while, you'll eventually start to go off the deep end. The best friend, the only friend you have then is yourself. And there's no identity in self. You tend to go off, lose your mind. Well, that's why, you know, the POWs, they isolate them. And what you did was you tried to find something in the environment to draw you out of self and try to remember things of the past, above, below. And that's the agenda was the one who wanted to brainwash you, wanted to wash from your brain that above, that sovereignty, that loyalty to your nation, to your family, to any higher authority, to God, most of all. And that really is what brainwashing was all about. Well, the dialectic is more user-friendly, gentler, if you want to put it that way. It's not. It just perceived to be gentler. You look around the room and you don't realize the tension that everybody's going through internally. I call it micro-terrorism. And it's done on a massive scale to get the same effect. Rather than one-on-one, it's done through a group process. Well, the last two programs, I've talked about Theodore Adorno, and I've been going through his book, Authoritarian Personality. This is a major work. It's a bulwark of foundational work that is key to understanding. If you want to understand what's happening in education, in the workplace, government, even in the church, this is a major work for the UN. It was, like I said, done out of Berkeley in 1950. A foundational work for teacher certification. Teachers are certified on Bloom's taxonomy, and Bloom, as he mentioned on page 166 of the affective domain book, the feelings domain, was page 166. He says, our Weltanschauung, our worldview, and at the bottom he lists two names that reflect the worldview, the Weltanschauung, or the paradigm, as you would say today, and it was Theodore Adorno in his book, Authoritarian Personality. There was another man mentioned, Eric Fromm, in his book Escape from Freedom. And we may cover that in a series later on. But right now I want to focus on Adorno. And like I said, the last two programs, we've gone through some of Adorno's book. I'll just pick up. from where we left off. And you'll have to get a hold of those prior programs. You can get on James Lloyd's program, and he may have these archived, I don't know, but they are on my website, authorityresearch.com, link to radio, and you might have to do a little searching, but you can find the prior programs. But the quotes, let's just go on. Adorno's work was all about the 50s and 60s, question authority, and he found a testing method. The thing was to find a testing method to find out where a person is along a continuum, because it's progressive. I have to know where you are to move you incrementally. And that was the key, because if I push you too hard, your conscience will kick in, and your conscience is rigid, and you'll stop the process. You'll either leave the room or kick me out of the room. And so I have to be able, to, as a facilitator, to know where you are, where your dissatisfactions lie in the moment, and therein to draw those dissatisfactions in your feelings of resentment towards restraint, and it could be your parents or the laws of land, or even liberal restraint. It's just an issue of restraint, and pull you in with your feelings against restraint. That's all that Satan did, was the issue of touch. It wasn't the issue of not eating the tree. She just wanted to touch it. And if I can bring that part, that ought, I'll at least be able to touch it into participation. Then I can bring the rest in. But I have to know where that is, and in you, and allow an environment, create an environment where you are willing to participate in sharing your dissatisfaction, and therein then draw you into the rest of the process. So I'm just going to pick up where I left off. Acceptance of religion, this is Adorno, mainly as an expression of submission to a clear pattern of parental authority, is a condition favorable to pseudo-patriotism. Now, as I've shared in the past, Marx tied the traditional family to God. Now, he was looking at structure. He says, once the earthly family, and there's a pattern of the earthly family, once the earthly family is discovered to be the secret of the heavenly family, there's a pattern of the heavenly family, he said, then the earthly family must be annihilated. In other words, to get rid of God, you've got to get rid of a structure, a way of thinking, and therein, where in society do we find this way of thinking developed? We find it in the traditional family. And the key is the issue of chastening and right and wrong. Because if there is right and wrong, if there's absolute truth, then you have the right to chasten when somebody does what's wrong. Now, if there is no absolute right or wrong, you don't have the right to chasten. That would be masochistic for the person to accept that, and sadistic for the person to perform it. And of course, Eric Fromm, in his book Escape from Freedom, he actually says that those who are believers, you know, those who believe in absolutes, are sadomasochists, because they inflict upon themselves standards that go against their nature, which make them masochists, and then they inflict those standards upon their children, which makes them sadists. And so the issue then was to tie religion to a structure, and then look at culture and what in the culture produces this structure, and they found it as the family. So religion as an expression of submission, see, that's the pattern. You submit to a higher authority is a clear pattern of parental authority. And then they tie it to nationalism, is favorable to pseudo-patriotism. So to get rid of nationalism, to get rid of sovereignty, to get rid of borders, then they see it as a cause from God, because God told Abraham, go mark territory. That's national. Now, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world, but he's going to come back to rule over nations. But Satan offered him the kingdoms of the world, and he said, no, because it's going to be on my condition, not on your condition. And God's condition is your heart. See, you have to be humble before him. And it's not in your strength, it's in him. That's his kingdom. But so there's this correlation. How do you get rid of nationalism for the sake of globalism? They see the cause is from God, a religion, a patriarchal system. They look at the home. They say, oh, there's where it lies, a clear pattern of parental authority. And it produces nationalism. And so Adorno's book, Authoritarian Personality, was developed simply on how can we bring a pattern, a system, into the education system that would destroy the next generation's respect for a patriarchal paradigm. And instead of teaching them negative, let's teach them positive. Now, this is sort of confusing. I don't want to confuse you in this, but Adorno was all about, and the Frankfurt School, was negative dialectics. Now, the positive dialectic would be somebody who would say, well, here's the dialectical process. There's thesis, there's antithesis, there's synthesis. It's pretty much what I'm doing. And then you identify it as a formula, and then you go out and apply the formula. And so whoever is not doing the formula is neurotic, and whoever's doing the formula is developing health. They're becoming. Well, that's positive dialectic in the sense that you have created a pattern that everybody must adhere to. But that's not the intent of the Frankfurt School. What they wanted to do instead was get people willingly to participate in the process. You know, not to study Marx, but to be Marx. Not to study Freud, but to be Freud. Not to study God, but to be God. And therein, it wasn't an issue of just learning formulas and going out and making sure everybody fits to them or analyzing them from them. It was to actually participate in the formula itself. And so that's negative dialectics. Negative in the sense that we're always going to criticize any law, even our own law. So we can make a law yesterday in a group. Well, today when we have another group together and we bring that law in, we're going to question that law. So everything that's rigid has to be subject to change. Because last law we made was an opinion of a group. And so today, conditions have changed. Therefore, whatever was relevant yesterday may not be relevant today, and we won't know for sure until we question everything, and then we come up with whatever opinion is valid today to deal with the problem. So everything becomes relative. That's negative dialectics. Now, in philosophy, they talk about positive and negative, and it follows sort of the same thing. The positivists are the people who have laws. They're rigid. The negatives are the people who are in process. Now, that's the dialectic to themselves. Now, they turn it all around. Now, this is where you can become confused. Because Kurt Lewin, who edited the Frankfurt School, I consider a member of the Frankfurt School. He is not officially listed, but to edit their articles, let me tell you something, those guys were jealous over anybody who had any input in what they were doing. In fact, some of the members never were even allowed to write articles in their journals. They were that zealous and that closed-minded in what they were after. And for Kurt Lewin to be actually editing some of their works, wow, you don't just let anybody edit your material. And so when he came here, he didn't really tie into the Frankfurt School, but he definitely was on the same page as far as the desired outcome. Now, his idea was negative and positive force fields. Now, there's a word that those words are used differently, in that the negative force field was any environment that inhibited natural human inquiry into the environment. And so that would be a negative force field, which would be God. See, when God set a standard in the garden, he said, don't eat of this tree. Now it's a forbidden tree. So any natural inquiry, any desire even to touch it, came under scrutiny from God's position. So therefore, your natural inclination to inquire was inhibited. And according to Freud, that is neurosis. In other words, you'd always be nervous around something you weren't told to do. And where did this nervousness come from? Did it come from the tree? No. Because the natural desire was to touch it. And that was natural to touch it. But this tension was caused by something that's supernatural. Something that's non-natural. In fact, something that's irrational. Nonsensical. See? Nonsense. And so that was their mindset in Kurt Lewin's negative force field. Now, positive force field is that which allows natural behavior freedom, spontaneity and freedom. In other words, you can be spontaneous. I would create an environment where you can share, we can be open-ended. This is Rogerian psychology. We can talk about anything. And non-directive, I'm not going to tell you what's right and wrong. So you have spontaneity and freedom, key to to the dialectical process working. So it was an issue of the process, an issue of shaping the environment. And you had to have a facilitator there because naturally everybody's been raised in a patriarchal environment. Somewhere they've been exposed to it and they tend to revert to it. And so therefore they would come in and look for the person who was the expert on any subject and let him lead in making decisions. And therein that would produce a negative force field environment. And so you had to have the facilitator there to always make sure the environment was spontaneous, there was spontaneity, and there was freedom. And in that, you had to make sure that there weren't those patriarchal people taking over control of the meeting, whether the child in the classroom or the worker in the workplace or in government or in the church, people coming in and saying, this is the way we've always done it in the past, this is right and that is not. Now, they'd always refer to anything above as to the past. In other words, when God gives you direction, that's of the past. And so you always have to evaluate whatever is of the past in the current setting. So you always have to focus on feelings because people have feelings that counter the standards of the past that interfere with the current crisis of the moment. That's what produces the crisis. If you knew the solution, it wouldn't be a crisis. See, it would just be dealing with a problem. But now a crisis is there's tension. What causes the tension is that you want to touch the tree, but for some reason you have this tension. Why? It's because somebody told you you couldn't touch it. You couldn't relate with it. Didn't say you couldn't touch it. There was a command not to relate with it. So anyway, I've gotten off on it again. I always do this. But so they correlate that to pseudo-patriotism. This is mine and not yours. God putting that tree in the garden saying, this is mine and not yours. A parental standard. He says, we are, and then he's correlating these pseudo-patriotist people, these fundamental religious extremists. Because, see, the Supreme Court even said humanism is a religion. And it is. Religion is that which is sacred, and sacred is that which you will not question. They will not question the process. You know, when you bring truth to people and they glaze over, they love a process. And you're confronting them with a tone, with an attitude. There is right and there's wrong, and they don't want that right and wrong. They can't deal with it. So the only way, they don't have the group there to attack you, because they've been in enough group meetings to know what happens when people come in and say, this is the only way it's to be done, and then, you know, then they're labeled as irrational, and eventually everybody knows they're worthless. They just can't work with us. We try to bring them in, but they're just too negative. Well, here's what he says. This is Adorno, authoritarian personality. He's labeling these pseudo-patriots. We are the best people and the best country in the world. And we should either keep out of the world affairs altogether, and he puts isolationism in there in brackets, or we should participate, but without losing our full sovereignty, power, and economic advantage, brackets, imperialism. Wow. Wow, you know, there goes all the framing fathers. You know, there goes the whole idea of sovereignty. There goes inalienable rights. Rights not given by man. There, no man can put a lien on those rights. That's all gone in that phrase because he's mocking this way of thinking. This, folks, you have to understand, the curriculum in the school systems under Adorno through Bloom's taxonomy is this paradigm. How to destroy isolationism, in other words, those who saying we're the best and they're not. The church, you know, Christ is the head of the church and we're striving to be in Christ and the world's out there and we're in here. And yes, we bring the world in, but you know what? We set our mind on things above. Greater is he who's in us than he that's in the world. And that is, if you go out into the desert, you're an isolationist. And if you hope to have an environment where everybody participates under those that doctrine of the Word of God, you're an imperialist. You're just pushing your belief on everybody else. It's interesting. Here are these social engineers, these transformational Marxists, these, I call Bloom's taxonomy, secularized Satanism, intellectualized witchcraft, because what does God do? He puts Adam and Eve in the garden, and he says, okay, in a way they're isolated, you know, you both are accountable before me, and then imperialism says, you better do it the way, it's my garden, you better do it the way I tell you to do it. And so, therefore, there is no, in fact, they didn't have anything to compare with, but that would be what nationalism is, full sovereignty, power, economic advantage, and so that would be this destruction of the home. You're the parent. You want to have control in your home. You have the power in the home. You have economic advantage. Your children have to come to you and ask you for permission to do something. And then if they need money, they have to get it from you. That's imperialism. Do you understand? So that when the teachers were exposed to this, as I was trained in Bloom's taxonomy, before long, it doesn't take long to have a condescending, oh, you'll nice, you'll be nice and smile at the parents when they come in, but you are condescending to that parental authority. And this is the arrogance that you get from the teaching, and I'm not picking on teachers here, because I have teachers come to meetings, they agree with me, they hate this stuff. Meetings sometimes are halfway through, they're in tears. But those who are hooked on this stuff, those who are possessed by this dialectical, diabolical process, because it allows them feelings, and they can have a group hug in that class. No longer are they up front imparting facts, you know, and truth, and the children are having to, you know, march to the tune of the imperialist up front, demanding everybody follow the facts. And there, and you produce these individual students out there who are isolationists, the one who, you know, the competition, I know more than you do. And it's just simply an whole overall agenda to destroy a patriarchal top-down system, i.e. God being the very top system, the highest authority. You can't get rid of God, so what do? You get rid of the system. Now, the power relationship, Adorno writes, between parents, and you're going to see this correlation all through this, parents-God. The power relationship between the parents, the domination of the subject's family by the father or by the mother, and their relative dominance in specific areas of life also seemed of importance for our problem. What is the problem? Fascism in America. Ah, national leadership dictating what people can and cannot do. Now, do you realize that communism and fascism are all the same system? One's national, one's global. And so once the liberals get in power, boy, I tell you what, they say grassroots movement. No, let me tell you something. It is not a grassroots movement. Because in all the material, you have to have a facilitator there, a social engineer, a Vanguard Party member, to manipulate everybody in the desired outcome, which is everybody does the process. That's the outcome, folks. It's not fixing bridges. It's not the healthcare program. It's the, you know, I mentioned last program, the UN says physical, mental, but it's also social. The social is the dialectical, hierarchical process. So any policy in education has to be in the dialectical process. So it's not just physical, it's not just mental, mental meaning we have to deliver you from a patriarchal system in your mind, we have to deliver society from looking out there for any higher authority to lead us out of the problems. We must look to the facilitator who gets us in a group hug, and the outcome is the process. The process saves us. See, that's that, again, the positive-negative stuff, the negative dialectics. It's not any standard, it's the process. And you'll see this in Carl Rogers' Rogerian Psychology in his material as well. And then he ties this power relationship of the home. Remember Marx says, God's system, the family system, they're the same. We don't believe in God, let's get rid of the family system. Then we'll get rid of God. Or if we keep God around, as the transformational Marxists were willing to do, is that we'll just redefine him on a social basis. We'll make him user-friendly. Every time we bring up the Word of God, we'll ask one another how we feel and what we think about it. And that becomes equal, if not more important, than the Word of God. In fact, we evaluate the Word of God based upon how we feel and how we think, or what we think. But correlating the family and God to fascism. And here's what he does. It would then be more understandable why the German family, with its long history of authoritarian, threatening father figures, could be susceptible to fascist ideology. In other words, here comes a leader saying, you know, march to my tune and do what I tell you to do. And this is such a perverse, perverse interpretation of what happened in Germany. Because let me tell you something, Hitler crushed the home. He crushed the traditional patriarchal home. It was out of fear, you know. It was us against them, in group, out group. Certainly, it was a pride of a culture, But here's what, in Escape from Freedom by Eric Fromm, he understood that, okay, if we remove fear of God, that top-down system in a culture, say Germany, no longer there's a fear of God, and you keep the system in place, you're still looking to a higher authority. You'll look to a man. Now, instead of one God above man, you will look to one man above man. That's Hitler. And so when they came here, they saw the same scenario. There's a nation that had scripture, Ten Commandments in the schools, had prayer in the schools, the teacher could spank the children, the very same structure in the home, this top-down patriarchal system, and they're going, okay, we're eventually, through prosperity in culture, you move from, because God can bless you, and you know what, after a while, you'd start worshiping the blessing. You forget about God. And so your priorities change. And so understanding through the technology that this nation was going to become less and less fearing God, more and more in prosperity, but keeping the same system, the formula says potential fascism. And therefore, their idea was we have to intercept this potential fascism. We can't go to the parents because they would simply get rid of us. We have to get into the education system. We have to get into the government. We have to get into the workplace. We have to do all these think tank, group think scenarios. Have all the right questions put together, because the answers are in the questions. Come into the meetings, ask the questions, and then traditional mind people scratch their head and say, well, I don't know where this is coming from. But before you had a chance to even figure out, the answers were given, and you ended up in their outcome, which was to get rid of the top-down patriarchal system, i.e. the traditional home, and you fulfill Karl Marx. Once the traditional home, it was realized to be God's secret, that traditional home must be, his words in English translated, annihilated. Annihilated. See, everybody has to practice the process. Everybody has to do the very same process that Satan got the woman in the garden to practice, which meant when she looked at the tree and said, it is good, she looked into the environment that stimulated the pleasure, looks into the environment to get more, and realizes there's nothing wrong with what's in the environment if there's nothing wrong in the dream. If there's nothing wrong in the social program, if there's nothing wrong in the health program, then any restrainer who prevented you from participating, they're irrelevant. I mean, this is literally what the charlatan does to the farmer's daughter. This is what the pimp does to the women that he uses. That they trust in him because he has all their felt needs in interest. See, and he can tie to their felt needs. That's what Satan did. Tied to Eve's felt need, drew it out, created an environment where she could share all to touch it, and then show her that it's a safe environment, and before long you own their soul. And then Adorno writes, on the other hand, Christianity as the religion of the Son. Well, now we're going to continue this on the other side of these messages. Get on my website, authorityresearch.com. The latest article I've put up there is Identifying Paradigms. It was originally an introduction to civil disobedience, but it became such a large article, I broke it in half. So it goes through all the identification of the different paradigms generally, but showing you scripturally what this is all about.